You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
Well, happy Labor Day weekend. And you never know, like, what kind of, you know, people and what kind of crowd you might have on a Labor Day. But welcome. I want to welcome our online family. Thank you guys for spending time with us this weekend. And thank you guys for being here and being here on time-ish this morning. And we just want to honor you, honor that as well. And would you, in-house crowd, give our online crowd a hand as well? Craig Thompson, I see you. I woke up this morning at 5 a.m. and I was praying for you in the fire of God. And I just knew I was going to see your name on the live stream today. So we just bless you. We pray the fire of God upon your body right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Craig is one of our leaders here, really active and just catapulting the men's ministry forward with Mike Claffey, and he's dealing with some pretty heavy physical issues. So we're just going after that. We don't back down. I love Natalie. Natalie, would you stand up? She's always in the back corner. Just everybody look at her awkwardly. And I want to thank her, and I do thank her, but she is so rabid against infirmity. You know, you guys know we held a conference here last weekend. We had the most people in this building that we'd seen in, a while. And they were just like, COVID dies at the door. Like, we're just not, homie, don't play that. All right, you gotta be my age to know what that is. Okay, never mind. I just retract that. But I want to thank you guys and thank your intercessors for praying for the church, for the event, for me. And I love what you guys are doing. It's amazing. And I want to thank all of our volunteers. You guys were awesome and really just pulled off an amazing weekend last weekend. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. And we're going to while you're doing that, we're going to receive an offering. You can tell I really worry about finances. I sow, though. Believe me, I sow. I'm just going to say that. But we don't receive in the traditional sense. We haven't really been doing that so much, passing baskets. But there is a basket in the back. As you leave, if you're writing checks, just make them out to the bridge. And you can drop it in there, and our ushers will take care of that for you. You can text one word to the Bridge Metro West. Bridge Metro West to the number 77. Do that on the screen. 77977. We'll send you a secure link. You can give responsibly by credit card or debit card. There are envelopes in the backs of the chairs. You can get by cash as well. And we are a church that is marked by radical generosity. Just let me tell you, the things that we've been able to do in this community and around the world is astonishing. Literally every week I am thankful, and it's not uncommon that we get phone calls from our missionaries and even local non-government organizations that we've supported and saying, hey, we've got a problem. And they call us because they want us to help them solve it. That's what we're here to do, not just to do church on Sunday. Josh, I think you need to back this off just a tad. Not just to do church on Sunday, but to actually be Jesus with skin on in the everyday. Amen? Amen? This is in the Bridge Metro West funeral home today, guys. The Bridge Metro West Church. I know y'all came in a little distracted, a little bit frayed. I could feel it in the atmosphere. But, you know, how blessed and good it is when brethren dwell in what? Dwell in unity. So we're going to be in unity today. Amen? That just means we're going to stand inside the sacred space of the name Jesus. And we're going to be blessed for it, because in that space, a blessing is not optional. It is commanded. So y'all be excited about that. Yay! Okay, that's good. John 15. I feel like I'm still feeding back a tad. And if I get rocking, you know. I didn't bring my Holy Spirit hanky up with me today, which means today will be the day that I sweat profusely. So. I've been, as you know, been reading the book of John just kind of over and over and over again. I get stuck, and I'm looking at a watch. I'm what? Oh, my watch interfering? It's so powerful. It's an Apple product. It's trying to prophesy. Galaxy wouldn't do that. Get thee behind me. I've been in the book of John, been reading a lot in the Passion Translation, but I also read in New American Standard and ESV quite a bit, sometimes the New King James. And I was reading this a couple weeks ago, and it just, at first it kind of knocked me off my socks, and then I began to dig deeper, and I was like, wow, this scripture is really powerful. I'm going to read out of the New American Standard to begin with. And I actually have a title for this sermon today, which is a little scary because I like to frighten people. It amuses me. But if I were to title it, which I did, I also want to honor Pastor Lee and Teresa DeMano. Thank you. Is this a Holy Spirit hanky, or is this like, okay. Did you anoint it? Did you blow a shofar over it first, or what? Like, okay. Would you guys stand up real quick? They're pastors in Worcester. I just want to honor you guys. You guys do amazing work, and I'm a little humbled and slightly ashamed, but God will heal me, because we've been talking about getting coffee for like 83.2 years, and we have still yet to get coffee. But we run into each other in random places, and so then I feel like it absolves me, but it doesn't really. So, thanks for being here, guys. Awesome. So I'm just going to read, because I got too many bunny trails. When we get into this kind of mode in worship, it's like I can feel the prophetic, and there's about five different things that I'd like to speak to, but sometimes it's better just to sit with what the revelation that's coming, so that when you, amen, yes, Siri, and so that when it does come out, it's accurate and it's true to the word of God. So, John 15, 1 through 3, I am the true vine. Jesus is talking, by the way, it's not me. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now, traditionally, when I have read just these three verses, it's kind of like, wow, we get the smackdown. And then you get the blessing. But that's often true in a warning. I mean, if you're even in the Old Testament, when we read warnings, oftentimes there's a blessing and a promise in the midst of the warning. That's why the warning is there. The warning is not there because God is such a punitive God that he wants to bring a smackdown on his people. The warning is there because he's seeing the trajectory of a person or the trajectory of a people that will take them outside the sacred space of his name. And I could go into that. I've got a whole series of messages on that. But outside the sacred space of his name or the truth of his word. And so we get outside of what Psalm 133 says is unity. And so now we are not in the space of blessing. We are outside of it. And he really wants us to be inside the space of blessing. Now, in our stream, you hear a lot of talk of Deuteronomy 8:18, that he gives us the wisdom or the power, depending on the translation. We'll call it wisdom in Hebrew speaks of capacity. And so we have the capacity to build wealth. It's a great scripture that I'll preach, but what you have to realize is that's in the middle of a warning. There's all kinds of warning. It's not all that fun a passage to read until you get to that part. And you're like, oh, he gives me the wisdom to build wealth. And so now we're all out there like, he gave me the capacity to build wealth. But he gives us the capacity when we are firmly rooted in him, when we are fulfilling the truth of the scripture, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then all these things be added unto you. See, the problem with what the Big C Church is experiencing now is that, and I had a conversation a little bit about this yesterday, but the culture of the land has invaded the culture of the church instead of the culture of the church invading the culture of the land. And the loudest voice that of the Big C, we'll call organizational church, in the last few years has not exuded the fruit of the Spirit. And the reality is we reap what we sow. And so there's a reaping inside the culture of the church, which has caused people to hold things between their face and his. When the scripture says, thou shalt not have any other gods before me, what he's saying is, you don't hold anything between your face and mine. It doesn't matter what it is. Our circumstance could be our idol. Our entertainment. I mean, traditionally, what I would say, it's entertainment or it's money, but there's so many things that we hold between our face and his. We can cry for justice, but if the justice is between your face and his, then it's no longer pure. The cry is no longer pure. He is pure. I love that. I wish that old song was actually in the Bible. It's true. But turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full into his wonderful face, and the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. When we get to that place, when we see his face, then we know which plow we are to put our hand to in a particular season, and we can do that effectively with purity in our heart without holding anything between our face and his. Because we're planning our ways, but he's directing our steps. We're acknowledging the Lord in all of our ways. Amen? Amen. So, John 15:1 is the seventh in a string in the book of John. It's the final I am statement that Jesus makes. As we plod through the book of John, Jesus says, I am the bread of life, or I am the living bread in John 6. I am the light of the world in John 8:12. I am the door of the sheep, John 10:7. I am the good shepherd, John 10:11. I am the resurrection and the life, John 11:25. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. And now he says, I am the true vine. All of these things put a dent in some of the what we would call more liberal theologies that have hit the ground in recent years. Jesus is not Buddha. Jesus is Jesus, Yeshua, the bright and morning star. He is the King of Kings. I'm getting ahead of myself. So he's the true vine, and his Father is the vine dresser. I've told this story, you know, a few times. There's a friend of mine. I get a chuckle out of him. I've known him for a long time, and he does a lot of ministry out of his house, and he ministers to people that are real down and outers, people that may not set foot in a church, or some people were church hurt or whatever the reason. And and he has this saying that always made me laugh. For 20 years, it always made me laugh. You know, he'd say, you know, if you got no fruit, you get the boot. You know, if you're going to hang out here and you're not going to pursue the things of God, but you're going to leech off of me and you're not going to bear fruit, then you're just going to get the boot. And I always liked that. But as I began to really press into the scripture and really begin to press into the language, it began to make me rethink that whole process. Now, I've never actually done that. I've wanted to. But then the only issue is that I got to kick myself. Because we all have seasons where we got no fruit. As a matter of fact, any plant has a season. There's certain branches that bear fruit. There's certain branches that don't. There's certain branches in our garden that are got flowers and some that don't. Some of them have tomatoes, some of them don't. Now, sometimes they produce the tomato, but the squirrels and the chipmunks eat them. And God created airsoft guns. I've never used one in the yard on an animal because my wife would hurt me. So what does the word actually say here? So when I read this, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Sounds kind of rough. The fate of the fruitless. But when I looked at that in the Greek, and I don't ever just sit in the Greek. I always typically look at the Septuagint. How is this thing used in the Old Testament? It begins to unfurl something that was a little bit different than what my preconceived notion was. But not only that, in different than ways that I have been taught this scripture in my upbringing. He takes away, literally, the theological dictionary of the New Testament defines it this way, is to lift from the ground. To lift with a view of carrying. Now, this Greek phrase, it has a basic meaning of to lift up. And it's used in the religious language of the New Testament. And it's used in three typical ways to signify the raising of a hand in oath, the raising of the face to heaven in prayer, and the raising of the voice in prayer. So now, when you see Jesus approaching this passage saying, I'm the vine, so when you come to me, you call me by name, and now you are grafted into this vine, but my dad is the vine dresser. I'm going to connect you. He's going to dress you. and he's going to address the situations in your life. Historically, at least in my history, I was taught that if you're not bearing fruit, then God comes in and he cuts you off and he throws that away, because we've all pruned plants, we understand, but it's not the issue of the plant. It's not the issue of you being tossed aside. According to this, now we're looking at a different picture where the Father comes and scoops you out in the midst of your despair, in the midst of your issues, in the midst of your fruitlessness, and he raises you so that the light of his countenance shines upon you, and now he's speaking a prayer over your life, a declaration over your life. He might even be putting you in a hidden space for a season so that in a future time you will bear fruit. Your fruitlessness will come to an end because you're grafted into the vine, and my Father, Abba, God, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Elohim, is the vine dresser. And I got this feeling that the King of Glory is going to have his way. This sense of to take up and carry is signified in this reference in Psalm 90 that I'm sure we all know. For he will give his angels charge according to you. This is 91. Thank you, intercessors, and other people that are smarter than me. For he will give you his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. That is what happens to the fruitless in the season of fruitlessness. Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's part of the journey. And then when you're bearing fruit, those are the ones that get pruned. So the fruitless get picked up and they get prayed over, they get coddled, and the ones that are bearing a lot of fruit, they get the shears and they start getting cut, and they're looking at their lives like, say, why am I getting cut? That guy over there isn't doing anything. But he's the vine dresser. He gets to do it the way that he wants to do it. And then this morning, I went back to the Passion Translation. I don't read notes. Like, you know, I always have those notes at the bottom of the page. Like, I don't use study Bibles. I read the Bible, I look at original language, and then I look at, like, the, you know, TDNT or, you know, a couple other resources. But I read the notes this morning. And Dr. Brian Simmons' notes in his Passion Translation Bible says this. The Greek phrase in John 15:2 that we just talked about, It can also be translated, he takes up to himself every fruitless branch. He doesn't remove the branches, but he takes them to himself. As the wise and loving farmer, he lifts them up off the ground to enhance their growth. In the context, Christ's endless love for his disciples on the last night of his life on earth seems to emphasize God's love even for those who fail and disappoint him. Peter's denial did not bring rejection from Jesus. And by the way, the Greek word for pruning can also mean cleansing. Because even if you're producing fruit, he wants to make sure that the fruit is pure. How does the fruit remain pure? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face. Thou shalt not hold anything between your face and his. And when we live in that way that Jesus lived, when he said, I can do nothing of myself, I only do what I see the Father doing. This is Jesus now as the Son of God speaking in the form of man, as he subjugated himself to a vessel that was finite before it was glorified. He's saying, I can only do what I see him doing. Why? Because he didn't hold anything between his face and his. That's why the first commandment is so important. It's not a tablet of stone that we bash people over the head with. It's a tablet of stone that releases people into blessing and destiny. If we can stay inside even that first instruction from the Lord, the rest of them will fall into place. So what is the fruit that he's after? We love to talk about destiny. You guys know how I feel about that. I mean, I like destiny. It'll preach. We have destiny conferences. And, you know, one of my favorite ministers you know, even said, I feel a real mandate or a call to launch people into their personal destiny. I think it's a, personally, this is opinion, so I'll stand aside from the pulpit. I don't think there's a whole lot of scriptural emphasis on personal destiny. I think it's on corporate destiny. Now, in the midst of corporate destiny, there has to be people walking in their personal destiny. But it's not so that I can get to the place where he wants me to be. It's so that we can get to the place where he wants us to be. How many times in scripture make every effort to preserve the unity of the brethren? Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. And sometimes that means you have to bear with those of lesser faith. But the goal is to walk in unity. And if it's just you pursuing a personal destiny, even at the expense of others, then you're not unified. Unity is more important than destiny. But unity is the vehicle that carries us to destiny. Amen? Okay. So what's the fruit that he's after? Because we always want, you know, fruit, 3,000 saved in a day. I like that one. You know, or people getting healed in my shadow. I like that one. I'd like to have that fruit. But what's the fruit that the Word actually talks about? Galatians 5, 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I feel a sermon series coming on faithfulness and steadfastness. But I got to get a little more love, joy, and peace in me before I can do that. I ain't gonna even say patience. My daddy taught me to never pray for patience. He was working at the Pentagon in the early 70s or whenever that was, and driving the Beltway, and he asked the Lord for patience, and boy, was he tested. How do you think patience is produced? To put you in situations where you need to be patient. Y'all can ask for patience. Now do it. Teresa. You rebellious servant. Now you're blessed. Okay. Gentleness and self-control. By the way, against such things, there is no law. It will be annoying to people that operate in the deeds of the flesh, but there is no law against it. Verse 24 says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. What does that mean? We're living by wisdom, communion, and conscience. That is the leader of our beings, while our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, is subservient to wisdom, communion, and conscience. The soul is not all bad. It's only bad if it's not under the alignment of wisdom, communion, and conscience. Because the Word says to bless the Lord with all my soul and all that is within me. We can't cut out our mind, will, and emotions. As a matter of fact, the Lord says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, soul, strength. You get it? It's just that when we're led by our mind, when we're led by our emotions, it will lead us astray, because our spirit has been perfected by the atoning work of Christ, and we're being transformed from one level of glory and another level of to another level of glory. And so as we walk by wisdom, communion, and conscience, our soul will follow suit. And the flesh should just kill it. If we live by Spirit, let us also walk by Spirit. Then what happens? Let us not become boastful. Think over the last couple years. Challenging one another. Think over the last couple years. Envying one another. When I read that, I want to say, if you don't got fruit, you get the boot. But that's not what the Word actually says. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'm not here to preach on the fruit of the Spirit. I'm just here to mention it, because if I preach on it, then I got to look at myself and talk about the way I drive. I love revival. I've been in it. I've seen it in multiple nations around the world. I know what it looks like. I know what it feels like. And not in a natural sense, but in a kingdom sense. But by the way, when his kingdom comes, it actually looks pretty much the same whatever culture you're in. Some wilder than others. But if we're gauging it by some of the things that happened last week and how we had to clean the carpet after Friday night service, it was pretty wild in here. There were some demons fleeing. But the experience of revival is of little value unless it produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Otherwise, you're just dipping into a corporate anointing that is present, but you're not being transformed by the one who sent it. And believe me, I saw that. People used that to criticize the revivals in the 90s. Man, I was in that. I saw it, man. I was in extended meetings. I was working 50, 60 hours a week in my job and then going to church and leading worship from 6 to midnight at these revival meetings, night after night after night after night. And it was good, but I saw people that would come in, be hit with the power of God. They would shake and shimmy, fall to the ground, and they would leave unchanged. Goosebumps are not enough. Reformation, in our stream, we talk a lot about Reformation. I'm not talking about Martin Luther's Reformation. I'm talking about our call to disciple people groups. There's nowhere in the Bible that says go get decisions for Christ. It calls us to disciple. Now you have to bring them to a point of decision where they say yes, and then you take them by the hand and you disciple them into the kingdom. You disciple them so that they enter the cycle of being transformed from one level of glory to another level of glory. And we talk about our spheres, the spheres of culture, how we can impact, you know, our governments in a way that exhibits love, joy, and peace. We can affect the educational system in ways that exude love, joy, and peace, and gentleness, and kindness. You can affect your business in a way that exudes love, joy, and peace. But I'm afraid that in some ways, the loudest voice has lowered our weapons of warfare to the standard of this earth instead of the standard of the kingdom, because we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus with a top-down perspective. It's not just so that we can have some kind of Holy Spirit party in the lap of Jesus, but so that we have a vision for what he wants to do on the earth, and then we come and we stand as ambassadors for Christ as though he's making his appeal through us. Why? Because he is. But the appeal of Christ will always begin with love, joy, and peace. You really can't get to patience and self-control and all the other stuff. It's one fruit. It's like one glass of wine, and when it first hits your tongue, it's, oh, I taste notes of love, joy, and peace. I just want to stay there. But then it starts to roll to the back of your tongue, and now you're getting into patience. Oh, that's a little, I don't like that note so much, but kindness, yeah. Goodness, oh, I like that. Let me swirl it around in my mouth a little bit. Faithfulness, well, I want to sleep in this morning. I know I said I would serve, but I'm a little tired. I had a tough week. And gentleness. Oh, God, that person showed up to church again. Got to deal with this person in self-control in Route 9 rush hour traffic on my 1.4-mile commute home. It took me 10 minutes to get home. Even at midnight because the lights turned red for no reason. There's nobody here. Your life is not fully feeding from the root of the vine until it exudes love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, control, self-control. That this is to be infused in everything that we think that revival is, and it is to be infused in everything that we think reformation and transformation is. Doesn't mean that we don't go to battle sometimes. But if you want to know how to go to battle for justice, observe the walk of Jesus, particularly in his final days. And you will see how the King of Glory walks. And he says, hey, walk this way. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Take a moment. Examine yourself. Book of Romans says all have fallen short of the glory of God. What is the fruit flowing from your life in this season? You know you. I know me. I know me in a way that you don't know me. And you know you in a way that I don't know you. People get worried when you know you and you walk into a prophetic church because you think everybody's watching, everybody knows. But the reality is that God is more in the business of covering your issues than exposing them. But you know your heart of flesh. You know, just preceding the fruit of the Spirit here, Paul talks to the Galatians about the deeds of the flesh. He doesn't even dignify the deeds of the flesh with the term fruit because they don't breed life. Fruit comes from life. Deeds are just deeds. When has strife, jealousy, outbursts of angers, disputes, dissensions risen up in your heart and even out of your mouth? Take a moment. It's what we call honest self-assessment. I do this daily-ish. And what does Jesus say about this? What does the King of Glory, the Holy One, think about this? Jesus, the Son of the Living God, He's a wonderful Counselor. He's a mighty God and an everlasting Father. He's the head of the church and the King of Kings, the Alpha Omega and the Creator of all things. He is the great High Priest, the Lamb of God and the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the image of the invisible God, the exact representation of the nature of God, and He is the head of the church. What does He say about your fruitless branches? I will carry you. I will lift you up to a fortified place of safety. John 15:3, it says, my word has already cleansed you. And so He says, so I remain in life union with you. I will pick you up out of the pit you dug for yourself. And I will lift you up again to that fortified place of safety. And my Father, the vine dresser, will ensure that you will bear fruit again. They that wait upon the Lord, He will renew. Just stop there. He will renew. Let's stand together. I'm going to read this, John 15. I'm actually going to go 1-4 out of the Passion Translation. I just want to read this over you as the worship team comes up. And it says this, I am a true sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. The words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you, so you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. This isn't a promise for everyone. Sometimes we get confused. We get wishy-washy with the gospel. This is a promise for those who have said yes to Jesus. Those who have surrendered their lives and begun to walk with Him and to have entered in the cycle of discipleship. This doesn't apply to everybody. It just doesn't. The Word, there's so much in the Word. There's so many promises that we throw out there and people get the goosebumps, but it applies to those who are connected to the vine. How do you get connected to the vine? You pass through the cross. You receive the sacrifice of Jesus for your life. You recognize that sin, what is sin? Sin is that thing that has come between your face and His. And He can remove that thing in the blink of an eye when you surrender to Him. And now you're grafted in. So that even when you're in a fruitless season, he will bind you up. He will comfort you as you mourn. He will hold the brokenhearted. And he will proclaim freedom to the captive. Because this is the year of the favor of our God. It's just been a year that's lasted 2,000 years on this earth. So I'm not here making decisions for people, but I bring people to the point of decision. And trust Holy Spirit to bring the seed to life. This promise is for those who know Jesus and seek to abide in him with varying levels and degrees of success. But when you read that passage, you've got to understand that we can only abide in him because he abides in us. He's the great enabler of the holy. And that's why Paul can say confidently, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus comes first, and then he empowers us to remain in him. John 17, Father, I pray that they would be one as you and I are one, every tribe and tongue and nation under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin cuts you off, but the cross of Jesus grafts you in. And let me tell you, you can take your identity, and whoever you think you are, whatever flag you've flown, whatever lifestyle you've sown, whatever your addictions are, whatever your issues are, you can take those things to the cross, but you can't take them through it because nobody gets to do that. I was young. I was always looking for an identity that was outside. You know, for some reason, I mean, I grew up in church. I never remember not having a God consciousness. I had my first encounter with God when I was in the crib, and I still remember it before I had words to describe what it had just happened. I don't ever remember not, but for some reason, I was looking for more. I was attaching the things that I did to the identity of who I was, and when that thing wasn't enough, I went to something else. Paul, the soccer player, Paul, the martial artist, Paul, the musician. But it took years before I could just be, I'm Paul David, a son of royalty. There's no other place I'd rather be than here in your arms. So I say to you, choose this day whom you will serve. If you're in a fruitless season right now, don't fret. Rest. Abba has scooped you down. You didn't even know it. He's picking you up and breathing upon you, exposing you to the light and bringing the water of life and the nutrient of his word. So Paul says in the next chapter of Galatians, do not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time, you'll bear fruit. You'll bear fruit. Fruit is coming again. The evidence is coming again. His life, felt life, is coming to you again, because that's what Jesus said he would do. And all God's promises are yes and amen. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, not like this. If you were brought up in church, man, church is just church, man. I'm talking about knowing the King of Glory. You're watching online, either live or at some future time within the sound of my voice right now. This is that time. This is your day. Mark it on the calendar. because everything is about to change. And so we're going to pray a prayer together. And if you're online and you're praying this prayer and it's, you know, your first time saying yes to Jesus or a serious rededication, reach out to us. We want to send you a Bible. We want to send you some materials. We want to help you on your journey. Wherever you are in the world, we want to help you on your journey. So let's all pray this prayer together. Just repeat after me. God, I want to know you. I accept your gift of life to me. I accept Jesus' death and his resurrection from death that reversed the curse of sin and death in my life. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I turn from my way and turn toward your way. Would you please reveal your love to me now? And I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.